Madagascar, a huge island in the Indian Ocean off the coast of eastern Africa, can be a challenging place to live. In the south, powerful winds known as the Teomena are now more intense due to climate change. They pound vulnerable coastal communities, and many of the subsistence farmers who live here have been wondering how much longer they can continue to survive on this land.
The Teomena has made it very difficult for farmers to grow any crops as the sand is invading our land.
I'm Daniel Dickinson, and for this special edition of the Lid Is On podcast, I'm in southern Madagascar, in one of the most climate change affected parts of the region. I'm talking to communities and hearing how people are finding ways to thrive in increasingly difficult environments. This is a story of resilience and adaptation to the new normal, unpredictable and extreme weather. Zanofo Fanalenga, a once thriving village, it's now struggling for its very existence. Years of underdevelopment, a series of humanitarian crises, and the impact of climate change are making this dusty, poor village almost uninhabitable at times. But for the time being, life goes on. Fried fish is prepared outside a small dwelling. This village of a few hundred people is not far from the sea, and fish is one of the few fresh foods that villagers can easily find. My guide here is Jean-Christian Lahambitoli, a fisher and community leader. He shows me what he calls a market, although it's not more than two or three people sitting behind rows of neatly lined up vegetables. There's manioc here, a starchy root vegetable, an important part of the diet of local people, and indeed of people across many parts of the world. This staple crop can no longer be grown here because the soil has become too sandy and dry. So the vegetables are transported at some expense from the nearest big town, Ambovombe. The conditions here are severe due to the increasingly extreme weather that this part of the country is experiencing. This perhaps sounds like rumbling thunder in the distance, and thunder often brings the hope of rain. In fact, it's the sound of a dry, harsh wind known as the Teomena, which whips up the sand along the nearby coastline, driving clouds of gritty, suffocating dust inland. Here's Jean-Christian Lahambitoli again.
The Teomena has made it very difficult for farmers to grow any crops as the sand is invading our land. The wind drives it inland across our village. When the Teomena is strong, it's almost impossible to work outside. Then we do not work. We don't have money to buy food or water, so we suffer a lot.
The Teomena is not a new challenge to this and other communities in the rural communes of southern Madagascar. But its intensity has increased due to climate change. Deforestation over decades has left many hillsides bare and open to the ravages of these intense winds. This has eroded the sandy soils these communities are built on. As sands creep over the land of these predominantly farming people, the ability to cultivate crops is decreasing. And the village is blighted by another aspect of climate change, the lack of rain, according to Jean-Christian Lahambitoli.
The land is too arid and we don't expect it to be able to cultivate much. There is not enough rain. We don't have anything to survive on, so people are leaving the village for a better life elsewhere.
Looking around this village, it's clearly poor. People are living in triangular-shaped houses built of grass and wood cut crudely from trees. There's little or no commerce nor employment. However, there are reasons for optimism. The vulnerable coastal habitat is now being protected, and communities are once again able to earn their livelihoods. The solution is the humble sisal plant. It's resistant to severe conditions and well adapted to a more arid environment. When cultivated in grids, it can help to secure the topsoil and prevent further erosion. This means fewer sandstorms and more opportunities to work the land. Lydia Monique Anjarasoa has returned to her small holding. She's also been part of the community's effort to grow sisal.
Before, on the land where we are standing, there was nothing here, just sand. So we could not grow our crops. But now we have planted sisal, which has been good for the village.
The stiff fibre sisal produces can be exploited commercially and processed into rope and even clothes. The planting of sisal, along with cactus and ipomea, a type of vine, provides more stability and water retention qualities to the soil. It's been supported by the government and the UN Development Programme, or UNDP. Individuals like Lydia Monique Anjarasoa were paid to plant the crop as part of what is called a cash for work project. It provides much needed income, which they're able to spend in their communities, thereby boosting the local economy. Fabrice Mamitiana is a field officer for UNDP.
Le cash for work, c'est un travail qui est payé par jour.
Cash for work is paid a daily work for community members. They spend 10 days planting sisal, cactus fruit and epomea. People receive money for their work, some of which is paid to the community for income-generating projects.
D'autres activités génératrices de revenus pour la communauté.
From where I'm standing on the brow of a hill, I can see the Indian Ocean to my left. In front of me, there are neat lines of sisal plants stretching downwards towards the sea. These plants are still young, but instantly recognizable by the spiky straight leaves that fan out in all directions. There's plenty of wind, as you can hear, but crucially, no sandstorms. The community now sees the practical benefits of planting sisal, according to Fabrice Mamitiana.
Lorsqu'ils ont vu les résultats de ce premier projet,
when they saw the results of this first project, they realized they needed it. They are now more optimistic and want additional projects like this in other localities. The sand in those places continues to advance because the land has not been fixed by sisal plants.
Et les dunes continuent à avancer.
Now farmers and their families are growing, eating and selling beans, millet and sorghum, amongst other crops. These crops are more resilient to the increasingly harsh environment. People here are recognising, for perhaps the first time in some years, that they do have a future on their land. That's despite the still not inconsequential challenge of accessing enough water to grow crops. The drift of sand onto farming land is known as desertification and is not unique to Madagascar. Globally, the UN estimates that desertification and drought is causing around 100 million hectares of healthy and productive land to be lost each year. That's the size of a country like Egypt. Ibrahim Chow is the Executive Secretary of the UN Convention to Combat Desertification, and I spoke to him ahead of the annual 17th of June International Day, which draws attention to the issue. He says this type of land loss needs to be tackled at both a local and global level.
Desertification is happening at the local level, as much as it is global. Unless we address this at the local level, we will never be able to actually control the whole thing at the global level. So you will need global policies, you will need global decisions.
What is the trend right now in terms of land loss?
We need first to halt land degradation, but we also need to restore 1.5 billion hectares of land.
How are you going to do that?
By improving the techniques of agriculture, reducing the impact we are having on land in terms of extraction of minerals and other extractive industries, It is also important that we reduce the pressure in terms of human activities in some parts of the world so as to diversify the economy and create more opportunities to create income rather than just coming back to the same degraded land again. But it is also important to restore. It is not an expensive activity to undertake, but it is absolutely essential to provide more food security, to reduce conflicts. Every single dollar invested in land restoration can generate up to $30 of economy. So it is therefore quite profitable from the economic point of view to invest. Now, this is not only for local communities or for governments. It is essentially for the private sector, because the largest driver of land degradation in the world is large agriculture.
Back on the southern coast of Madagascar, the seasonal Tiomena wind is still blowing. But now there are fewer and less intense sandstorms, thanks to the introduction of sisal. And that means that farmers like Lydia Monique Anjarasoa are able to once again make a living from the land, giving hope of a more secure and sustainable future to communities across the region. This is Daniel Dickinson reporting from Madagascar with this special Lydia's On podcast from UN News. Thanks for joining me. And if you want to know more about the activities of the United Nations, not just in Madagascar, but across the world, please visit our website at news.un.org.